This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ron Pollack, Executive Director of Families USA, an organization strongly pushing for the president's version of health care reform. He joins us today to talk about the public option. Is it essential? Should it remain on the table as a possible means of compromising with Senate Republicans? And would a co-op be an acceptable alternative? We'll get to all those questions. And Ron, thanks so much for your time today.
Delighted to be with you again, Greg.
This has really taken off in the past few days. The president sort of alluded to this being not an essential component in one of his town hall meetings. Kathleen Sebelius, the Health and Human Services Secretary, certainly created a firestorm on Sunday when she was talking about it. So now you have some of the more liberal elements of the Democratic Party saying, we're not going to get behind a plan that does not have a public option, while others, of course, on the other side of the aisle have said that they won't support anything with a public option. So what's the position of Families USA? Is the public option absolutely necessary, or could a co-op or some other sort of compromise be just as effective?
Well, Greg, we support a public plan option and have done so throughout the duration of this debate. One of the things, however, I would say that is unfortunate in this debate is that everything else in healthcare reform has really gotten very little attention other than the public plan option. There are a lot of things in the healthcare reform packages that have passed four committees of Congress that are enormously important, and hopefully they will be adopted. So I think my biggest fear is that the debate about the public plan option, irrespective of how it turns out, is failing to give people a sense of appreciation of how much reform that's very helpful to families and to businesses is already in these packages. So for us at Families USA, we will continue to support a public plan option, but we believe that at the end of the day, we need to pass health care reform, including a lot of these things that haven't been discussed, things that make coverage affordable for people by providing subsidies for them, by stopping insurance companies from discriminating against people with pre-existing conditions, by helping senior citizens who have multiple conditions, who fall into this terrible donut hole where they have to pay thousands of dollars out of pocket. All these kinds of things will be corrected as part of health care reform. And so my hope is that we don't just focus on one aspect of reform, but we focus on the whole package.
Seems as though most other components are taking a back seat, though, as you mentioned, to this debate over the public option. Republicans initially drawing the line that they think this is going to lead to a government takeover, so they can't get behind it. Democrats now drawing the line on the opposite side, saying they have to go with it or they may lose their support. So how do you expect this to shake out?
Well, in the House, legislation will be passed that will include a robust public plan option. That seems pretty clear. In the Senate, I don't think that's likely to happen. I think we're going to instead have legislation that will pass the Senate that will establish co-ops. And then this issue is going to be decided in a conference committee. But meanwhile, about 80% of the key elements of health care reform that President Obama has talked about, those things are likely to pass both houses of Congress. And I think it would be a real shame if we failed to get those things accomplished.
Ron, you talked about different things in the bill besides the public option. One of these deals with choice. Democrats, including the president, saying that we need choice, which includes the government competition, and others say there's a problem in this bill, and they point to Section 102, where it basically lays out the rules by which even private health insurance plans would pretty much have to formulate themselves to whatever the government option would be. What would you say to folks who are worried that in a very short period of time, the choice is kind of petered away?
No, I think there's going to be increased choice. You know, the whole idea of these marketplaces called exchanges that will be newly created are to make sure that people have a wide selection that they can choose from among a variety of different plans, certainly private plans, and we'll see whether there's a public plan or a co-op that's included as part of the choices. But for most people, it's going to mean many more choices than they have today, and I think that's something that the public is going to very much like. For those people who don't feel they've got good choices today, And particularly for those people who are priced out of health care coverage, they will not only have a choice of a plan, and that plan is going to have to follow rules like they can't discriminate against somebody who's got a pre-existing condition. They can't terminate you when all of a sudden you get sick. They can't charge you a discriminatory premium. They can't charge women more than they're charging men. Those are kinds of rules, I think, that make a great deal of sense and that will protect the public.
Ron, just a couple minutes left in our conversation here, and I know your primary goal is getting as many people covered with good coverage as possible. One of the other arguments made by critics of the Democratic version is that this is setting itself up to be, and I guess this goes back to the public option a little bit, to be a replay of Medicare, which Medicare was initially designed to be a competitor to the other private insurance options for seniors, and eventually it kind of crowded them out of the market. Is that your version of how that happened, and do you sense that that could be a possibility this time?
No, in 1965, when Medicare was enacted, at that time, insurance companies actually did not want to sell coverage to senior citizens. They felt that seniors are more likely to have health care claims, and the overwhelming majority of seniors as of 1965 had no health coverage at all. And it was Medicare that came in that actually provided guaranteed good coverage for people. So what happened with the Medicare program is probably not too instructive, because the insurance companies themselves refused to provide coverage to this constituency that was very vulnerable, and finally Medicare came along and provided them with coverage, and now virtually every senior does have health coverage.
Ron, it's going to be a fascinating debate, and obviously it's gotten pretty heated lately. We'll see where it heads from here. Thank you so much for your time. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again soon.
Well, happy to join you. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Ron Pollock is Executive Director at Families USA. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.